Well, praise the Lord. Well, we didn't get snow this time, did we? It's unreal what happened. Thank you, each and every person. Will and Emily, thanks. Judy, for the children's story. I was wondering what that thing was dangling under there. I'm thinking, that's weird. There's purposes for these things. Seth, thank you for your role. Justin, Daniel, thank you. So, I guess I should start with prayer. I'll ask the Lord, because otherwise it's not going to go anywhere. Father, we thank you that we can have this opportunity to open up your word and read truth. Thank you that we have it. Thank you that you are the truth, the way, and the life. And Spirit, Lord, just come in our midst and move mightily. Don't let your word return empty or void this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something different this morning. I want you to pray for someone next to you and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to that person, whoever's sitting next to you. Say, Holy Spirit, speak to them. Help them to hear what you have for them this morning. You have something for each of us that's a little different. And so I'm going to ask you to ask for the person next to you, and we're all going to do it once. So go ahead. Pray for the person sitting next to you and ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to them and get his purposes would be done in their lives. Speak to Seth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Your purpose is beautiful. Okay, thank you. So, I have a question. What are you waiting for? Are there things that you're waiting for? Heaven. Okay. You have promises, and that's coming. What other kind of things are you waiting for? Merlin's laughing. What are you waiting for, Merlin? Chuck's waiting for summer. Oh, my goodness. A grandchild. Direction, yeah. We wait for all kinds of things. Some of them with no eternal meaning or purpose, just things you're waiting for. And other things, absolutely eternal, heaven or whatever. Maybe have loved ones. I have a couple of nieces that I'm praying for that just the Lord would draw them back to himself again and their husbands. And I trust him to do that, but I'm waiting. Those prayers have not been answered. So, are you good at waiting?
No.
That was quick. I'm not the best waiter. Get impatient. Jesus tells us in Matthew 21:22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them, you will have them. That's what he says. We ask according to his will. Waiting, though, is the hard part, because God answers in his timing, and his timing's different than our timing, isn't it? But he hears our prayers. So, in the meanwhile, while we're waiting, our faith gets tested, doesn't it? And that's part of it. James says this, know that the testing of your faith will bring endurance And when endurance is developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So God has his purposes in us waiting. In our scripture today that we're going to be reading, I'm going to ask somebody to read Luke 2, 21 to 40. I didn't give that to anybody. That's our only scripture that we'll need read this morning that I'll ask somebody to read. We're looking at a man, his name is Simeon, and he's waiting. So if someone would have Luke 21 to 40, I would ask you to read that if you would. Who would want to read that? Justin has a microphone all set for you. Don't all shout at once. 40. Luke 2, 21 to 40.
On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Thank you, Mary. This is a familiar scripture. And it surrounds two individuals. We're going to be focusing mainly on the one. Well, of course, it's Mary and Joseph and Jesus, but the individual we're looking at this morning is Simeon. And Simeon was given a promise from God that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. That's quite a promise. And he was waiting and waiting. And often as it happens in the midst of our waiting, sometimes when we're waiting on something to happen, the circumstances and the situations surrounding the fulfillment of that answer get worse and not better. How many know what I'm talking about? It just seems like things are getting worse. Exactly. And so our faith gets tested. And I'm sure Simeon's was tested. Because in the time that he was living, Jerusalem would have been a dark place. It would have been dark politically, first of all, because the Romans were ruling, and Herod the Great was the king, And although he was a good builder, built fortresses and aqueducts, and even built the great temple in Jerusalem, he was a tyrant. He was brutal. He was ruthless. And so the situations politically surrounding Jerusalem was bad. It was dark. Economically, it was not a great time either. It was dark economically. And the people, there's great disparity between the rich and the poor. I'll say it that way. Between the haves and the have-nots. And the people were taxed heavily by the Roman government in that day. And lastly, but not least, it was dark spiritually. I mean, think about it. The Bible says it was a 400 period years of silence from heaven. Nothing. No prophecies, no messages, no angelic visits, nothing but silence. The heavens were brass. 400 years. That's a long time. And the spiritual leaders of the day, scribes and Pharisees, we've heard a lot about the scribes and Pharisees. They were supposed to be helping the people to draw nearer to the God, but they weren't that much concerned about the people. They were concerned about themselves and their own power, and they kept adding to the law all the minutia things, and it made following God almost cumbersome and a burden to just worship God. They should have been following God with a pure heart, and they were not. Their worship was not sincere, but rather it was from pride. And Jesus would later call these leaders, through this spiritually dark time, hypocrites, blind guides, and whitewashed tombs. He didn't mess around with words, did he? Who looked beautiful on the outside, but were full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. Wow, that was the leaders. So it was a dark place in many ways. Yet in spite of all the negativity surrounding Simeon, he still had hope and still trusted God to follow through. And God had a plan. Remember, when things look dark, things look bleak, God always has a plan, and he did here. In the fullness of time, in God's perfect time, he sent his only son into this dark world to be a light, to be the light of the world. And there's always a faithful remnant that God has. Simeon was part of that remnant. Mary and Joseph were a part of that remnant. Anna was a part of this remnant. And Simeon, as well as Mary and Joseph, sought to honor God and worship God and be faithful in what he was asking them to do. Our scripture today that Mary read surrounds basically three ceremonies that Jewish parents had to do for a newborn baby boy. It was part of the law, and they were fulfilling their requirement for the law because they love God and want to do things right the way they're supposed to be done. And so the first of these was the circumcision of the boy and naming him, which was done on the eighth day. And today they know that on the eighth day it's the best time to circumcise a kid because their immune system is such where it's the best to do it on that time. But God knew that long before we did with medical science. So on the eighth day, they actually had that done, and they named him Jesus according to what the angel said to Mary. So that's in the one verse, verse 21. And then between verse 1 and 22, between verse 21 and 22, there is a 32-day gap. Because the second ceremony in verse 22 would have been the purification of the mother. I'm sorry I can't speak this morning. All Jewish mothers who had a son were to present themselves 40 days after the birth for purification. They were considered ceremonially unclean. So Mary and Joseph were following what was written in Leviticus chapter 12. So on the 40th day after giving birth, they went to Jerusalem, which was within a 6-mile trip from Bethlehem, for Mary's purification and the presentation of the firstborn. Ordinarily, parents would bring a lamb for the burnt offering and a young pigeon. I don't know if you picked up on this or not. But in the case of the poor, they're permitted to bring a pair of doves or just two young pigeons. So the fact that Mary didn't have a lamb showed that her and Joseph were poor and didn't have the means to actually pay for a lamb or purchase a lamb for this purification. So she brought two young pigeons. And the third and last ceremony was called the redemption of the firstborn. Luke says that Mary and Joseph took Jesus, present him to the Lord, as is written of the law, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. Basically, the Jews believed that every firstborn male child and firstborn male animal belonged to God. That's from Exodus 13. So they were to be consecrated to God. It's kind of like our baby dedication today of sorts. And set apart for God's service and purposes. So when Mary and Joseph were coming into the temple, bringing Jesus, this is what they were doing. And it would have been a busy place because there would have been a lot of babies being born, a lot of mothers bringing their newborns. And this is something that was routinely done in the temple. The priest would have dealt with this on a constant basis. It just would have been another day. He would have been just another child, another Jewish boy born into the world. And they didn't recognize him as being the Messiah. They didn't really care either, I don't believe. But there were two elderly saints that love God that did recognize this. And they, of course, are Simeon and Anna. Now, my question is, were they there just by chance? It just happened to be in the temple, and they just happened to recognize it. What do you think? No. No, there's nothing chance about this at all. First of all, Anna was living there, basically spent all her time in the temple, so she would have been there. And Simeon, interesting man, he was waiting and he was listening. And then Scripture says he came in by the Spirit into the temple. Meaning the Holy Spirit said, Simeon, get it on. This is the day, buddy. This is the time. Go to the temple. He was in tune and he went. Simeon trusted the Lord and he was expectant. Not just on this day, but every day. He was expecting because he had that promise from God. He was expectant. Are we expectant for the promises of God? We should be, just like Simeon. So when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in the temple, Simeon swooped him up into his arms. I mean, must have shocked Mary. I mean, here he is, this old man rips his baby out of her arms and I can just picture it in my mind's eye. I don't know if you can, but my imagination goes there. And he says, now, Lord, you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Wow. Mary and Joseph must have just been like shocked. Simeon had a close walk with God, and particularly with the Holy Spirit. It says in Scriptures that Simeon was a just man, morally upright, good, and devout. It means he was committed and devoted to God. Boy, if that could be said of me and you. It says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means refers to the comfort of the Messiah would bring his people. That's what he's talking about. And it says there in verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Epe, upon him. He was filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. Very unusual. Why do I say that? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet. Acts chapter 2, in that upper room with 120 were praying for 10 days, the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's the next time you hear about it. But Simeon, this is a whole other thing. He was, this is amazing, really, filled with the Spirit, very, very unusual. And he had a personal, intimate walk with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he knew the Spirit's voice and was faithful and obedient to that voice. Just imagine, if Simeon would have been, I'll say like me, self-centered, too busy, procrastinator, he could have missed out on seeing the Messiah, the thing that he was destined to do. He could have missed all that if he would have been not tuned into the Spirit's voice. He actually prophesies over the Messiah and then blesses both Mary and Joseph. And so this intimate walk he had with the Holy Spirit is what the Lord wants for each of us, of course. I know for myself, I'll just speak for myself, I get wrapped up in my own agenda, in my own appointments, and miss out on sometimes the things God has for me. You know, this scripture gives me pause to think, just for myself. And this whole idea of being in tune to the Holy Spirit and being intimate with the Holy Spirit, I know that intellectually, mentally, but I just get busy and self-centered and lazy. I fail too often. I fail to even acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. I don't speak to him. I don't ask him to guide me. And the end result is I'm not tuned in. And I miss it. Simeon was tuned in. He didn't miss it. There's a scripture that the Lord reminded me of that I thought he wanted to remind you of that comes out of 2 Corinthians 13:14. It's the last verse in 2 Corinthians. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." It's a beautiful benediction. We hear it all the time. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is not dependent upon you or me or what we do or don't do. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is there for us constantly. Unchanging. It's for us. The second part, the love of God. Does that ever change? Does God's love ever change for us? No. That's constant. Unchanging. No matter what we do or don't do, it's not dependent upon us. It's there. But this third part, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The communion, that word communion in the Greek is koinonia, which means intimacy, partnership, communion. And that is very much dependent upon us and what we do and don't do. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force himself on you or me. He waits to be invited into our lives. He wants personal relationship. He wants intimacy with all of us. He wants to be speaking and having interactions with us. He wants to partner with us. He's supposed to be our senior partner. We're the junior partner, but he will not do it without us, and we cannot do it without him. So we need to be connected. I had to think about relationships. My wife is very intentional about relationships. She was just meeting with Ashley this week and Kim. They were at the Mill 72, and that's my wife. She is very intentional. She says she wants to meet with this person, go out to lunch with this person. I mean, she is always making plans and being intentional on her relationships, in her relationships. Her husband needs to learn from her. And I need to do that with the Holy Spirit. I need to be more intentional in asking him into my life and walking him into my life and being connected to him in my life. I'll give you an example. I don't necessarily pray to the Holy Spirit, although I don't think that's wrong because he's God. But I talk with him. When I'm tuned in where I'm supposed to be, I'll say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. I thank you for your presence in my life. guide me today. You know, help me today. Help me to be listening to your voice. Help me to tune into those thoughts and those little things you put in my mind that are so subtle. Help me not miss those things, because I know you have plans for me that I probably never thought about. Help me to be willing to go and change my schedule or rearrange things so we can bring Jesus' glory together. And to be intentional like that is a good thing. And when you do that, every day is going to be an adventure. I believe. There's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, Saddle Up Your Horses. I don't know if you remember that song or not. We've got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder with God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader into the great and glorious unknown. This is life like no other. This is the great adventure. He says, this is what we were created for, as part of the song. He says that. This is exactly right. So if your life seems boring, just ask the Holy Spirit some morning to lead me where you want to go. And I'll tell you what, boy, be ready, because he will. It is a great adventure. And Simeon was on that great adventure with the Holy Spirit, and he was in tune with the Holy Spirit, and he was right where he was supposed to be at the right time. And God brought glory. And then he has this prophetic utterance. You know, he swoops up this baby and speaks these things. It was prophetic. It wasn't just Simeon just rambling on. These were things the Holy Spirit wanted him to say, and he just used Simeon's mouth to do it. His tomb, it just came out. Part of what was interesting about what he said is that he described Jesus in that prophecy as being a universal Savior for all the people, including the Gentiles. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel. Now to us, that doesn't sound so weird. To Jews, in the time when Jesus was born, that would have been very weird. The Jews had nothing to do with Gentiles. They were unclean. The Messiah, he was for Israel, to help Israel. They were looking for a redeemer or a Messiah that would get them out from Roman rule. What does the Gentiles have to do with anything? I don't know if Simeon even understood what he was saying. Bring revelation to the Gentiles. I mean, that was... You don't say that. It would have sounded strange, what I was saying. It would have been contrary to what would have been normal. Even confusing. Why I'm saying this, because sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks, wants to speak through me or you, he might say something that sounds unusual or odd. But you sense you're supposed to say it. Say it, no matter how unusual or odd it is. I'll give you an example. Tim Deering, when I asked him if he would be our apostle for New Beginnings back in the day, this is many years ago, at least 10 years ago or more, he was considering it, and the Holy Spirit told me, I want you to quote a line from Star Wars. I'm like, what? Not Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. I don't even like that movie. He said, just do it. It was a guy named Gimli. He was a little guy with an axe, short. And the line was, certainty of death, what are we waiting for? Something like that. I can't even remember it exactly anymore, but I knew the exact thing. And he says, write that to Tim and send it to him in a note. I'm thinking, oh my word, why would I do that? I said this to Luann. I said, this is what I think I'm supposed to send you. She said, why would you ever say that? I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm supposed to. And I did. That's what I wrote. And it made perfect sense to him. And he said, yes, because of that. Part of it was because of that quote. It's like, oh my word, Lord. I mean, a secular movie like that? I'm thinking, that can't be the Lord. You just never know how God works. So, Simeon said what might have seemed strange, but it was exactly what was supposed to be said. So, Mary and Joseph, they must have been like deer in the headlights there. I don't know. It would have been curious to be a mouse watching it all unfold. You know what I'm saying? Just to watch and see what's all going on. And then Simeon turns to Mary and says this to Mary only. And it says this in our text. It says he turns and says this to Mary. Why would he do that? Because the Holy Spirit knew when this would happen, Joseph wouldn't be in the picture. Did Simeon understand this cognitively? Probably no clue. But he said it anyway. He turns to Mary and says this. Behold, this child is destined for a fall and rising of many in Israel, a sign which will be spoken against. That's the first part of what he said to her. Basically, he's saying that the Messiah was going to be a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and many Jews did stumble and fall because of Jesus. They stumbled at his humble birth. They stumbled at his lack of education. They stumbled at the company he kept. They stumbled with his teachings, with his miracles, and they stumbled and fall completely at his suffering and death on the cross. And they fell because of their unbelief and rejected him as Messiah. So many would a fall and rising of many in Israel. And then he says this to Mary, Mary only. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Meaning that Mary was going to see her dear baby, which was in her arms at that time, or in Simeon's arms, as the case may be, see him on the cross, see him die. I don't know if Mary truly understood all those things, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit brought it back to remembrance in the right time. And if all that wasn't enough, the Lord thought, I'll put a little cherry on the top of this beautiful thing I'm doing here. And he brings in Anna, this 84-year-old prophetess, female prophet. Yes, there are female prophets for those who think that only guys are in on these things. Nope, there she was, prophetess. She too recognized, was led by the Holy Spirit, recognized Jesus as Messiah, says, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Basically, she's declaring the good news for all who's looking for a Redeemer in Jerusalem. Different times I think of Fern when I think of Anna. I don't know why. I always kind of relate the two somehow. So, great scripture, great story, right? What does this have to do with you or me today? What response does the Lord want you or me to do in response to what he just shared? He doesn't want you to go home and just eat lunch and forget about it. So, I'm giving you a challenge to an assignment. This is not for Mike. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take half of these, put them this way, and half the other way. Here. And then pass them back. You can each take one. There should be enough for one for everybody. Can I steal one of those before you sit back there? I'll make sure everybody gets one of these before you go. It says, New Beginnings, One Day Assignment from God. I really believe this is from him. This is what he would do. One day. I'm not saying 1 week. I'm saying a day. We'll start there, okay? I didn't think I would be too far out there. An adventure with the Holy Spirit. Are they getting to the back? We'll see you guys get one. If you don't get one, I'll make sure you get one. Do you like adventures? I think the more older we get, the more less adventurous we are. The younger you are, you're more adventurous. Now, this is what I really sense the Lord wants you to do. Pick one day this week, this coming week. You pick the day. Start that day in prayer. Specifically, talk with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you do this regularly or not. If you do, don't be offended if I'm asking you to do it again. Just then be glad. This is, I'm doing this already, Mike. Great. I just know for me, I need to be more intentional. Specifically, talk with the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for His presence in your life. That's always a good way to start. Invite and welcome Him to be with you throughout your day. All right? Ask Him to help you to be in fellowship and communion with Him. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You can be at work, school, grocery store, whatever you're doing. And I want you to ask these things specifically. That's why I'm giving you this list so you don't forget it. Ask Him to have a heightened awareness of His presence in your life. Ask Him to speak and that you could sense and know His voice and be led by its promptings and His nudges. He will put thoughts into your mind this week. When you do this, He's going to put thoughts in you. It's just, if you get random thoughts in your mind, guess what? It's probably the Holy Spirit speaking. Just know that. As I'm just saying, just know that. I mean, we get all kinds of random thoughts from the enemy, right? Absolutely. And you need to take those things and take them captive into the obedience of Christ. Don't let them there. But we get these other thoughts and we think, hello? Probably the Holy Spirit saying, you know, I got something for you today. This is the person. I don't know. But you want to accomplish His plans. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So be ready to hear His voice. It's going to be very soft. It's going to be very subtle. But when you're being intentional like this, get ready. Get ready. Be prepared to do no matter what. It may seem silly. It may seem off the wall. I could tell you some stories myself, personal stories. But I really sensed the Lord wanted me to read this out of guidepost. I don't know why. This is something out of, every time I read this story, I have to cry. So, it's not that long, but I really sense that this is what the Lord wanted me to share with you. It's called, The Holy Spirit Made Me Do It. Sounds good, doesn't it? One Friday afternoon I sat, it's about two college students in a seminary. They're both going to seminary. It was a conservative seminary, which didn't allow dancing. Foreboding. All right? So, one Friday afternoon, I sat, and this is the guy who wrote it, the story is about. I sat in a seminary class, gazing out the second-story window. My professor erased from the blackboard a long list of biblical references to the Holy Spirit. I felt weary from memorizing a semester's worth of long lists about the Holy Spirit, the divine attributes of the Holy Spirit, the appearances of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Today, Dr. Palma had cited all the references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. That's right, he was yawning, Merlin, and it's like, ugh. The fire that spurred me to sign up for this course spurted out with the first lecture, digging up hundreds of historical references about the Holy Spirit, where thousands of years before seemed like spiritual archaeology. History has its place, but I thought, can I encounter the Holy Spirit today? What is the Holy Spirit doing in Springfield, Missouri? After class, I followed Dr. Palma to his office like a lost pup looking for direction. He invited me in. I said, Dr. Palma, do you ever hear the Holy Spirit? I asked. Not directly, he replied. Do you hear anything personal from the Spirit, such as a conversation would imply? He says, no, but I do feel comforted now and then. Why are you asking? I searched for words. I had something more. I wanted something more from this course. I wanted to learn how to experience the Holy Spirit and to have a real relationship with Him. I shifted in my seat and heard my voice become more tense. I want to know if the Holy Spirit really knows who I am and if he can guide me in specific ways. Dr. Palma looked out the window and then back at me. Dan, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you in a personal way and see what happens? Tell him you want an adventure for today. I returned to my dorm to get ready to study for my study date with Gwen, a friendly girl who sat next to me in the Holy Spirit course. I had volunteered to help her get ready for our final exam the following week. We planned to drive over to Southern Missouri State University Library across town. While I was in the shower, I began to formulate a prayer. Then I dressed. The prayer finally coalesced in my mind. Holy Spirit, I prayed out loud, I'm tired of memorizing all about the good old days. I want to know if you're alive and well today in the 20th century. Can you please speak to me today? In Jesus' name, amen. When Gwen and I arrived at SMU campus, I invited her to have a cup of coffee before hitting the books. We strolled over to the building that housed the coffee shack, coffee bar, the ballroom and student activity center. As we entered, the throbbing beat of music struck our ears. The marquee announced that a rock band was playing in the upstairs ballroom. I smiled at Gwen and gyrated my body in fun. But we didn't dare go upstairs. The seminary prohibited dancing. Any student caught to dance could be expelled. We walked to the snack bar, where I bought muffins and coffee and joined Gwen in the booth. No sooner had I sat down, the presence came over me so strongly that I froze. A powerful thought formed inside of me and grew into a voice speaking within me. "What's wrong?" Gwen said. "Wait a minute," I muttered, staring into space. The inner voice said matter-of-factly, "Dan, go to the dance." My hand trembled as I handed Gwen her coffee. I took a sip of mine, and I said, "I think the Holy Spirit just spoke to me." Gwen said, "I didn't hear anything." "I mean, inside me. What did he say?" "What did he say?" she asked. "He said, go to the dance." "That can't be the Holy Spirit," she said. "That's against the rules." "I know," I said. "Well, what if it really is the Holy Spirit? Will you come with me?" "Okay," she said. "But let's just go in and get out." We finished our coffee and walked upstairs to the ballroom. I felt curious, but slightly tense. At the top of the stairs, the blaring music hit us with full force. The ballroom glowed softly with multicolored track lights. Now and then, a strobe light flashed, making the twisting bodies look like ghosts dancing in slow motion. The voice spoke again to me and said, "Go stand in the front of the band." And go stand in front of the band. I squeezed Gwen's hand, and she followed me across the floor. Suddenly, I imagined a scowling dean pointing his finger at me and yelling, "You're out of here!" His mouth would have dropped open wide when I pleaded the Holy Spirit made me do it. Just as I thought about abandoning the whole experiment, meant the inner voice spoke again, this time even more specifically. "Go strike up a conversation with the young man wearing the yellow shirt and blue jeans. His name is Terry. Tell him I love him. I'm sorry for the pain he's gone through. If he wants me back in his life, I will give him new guidance." This can't be the Holy Spirit, I thought. It's got to be in my imagination, or some kind of wish fulfillment. I turned to Gwen, not knowing how to explain my perplexity. "Is he still talking to you?" she said. "Yes," I said. "Well, what are we supposed to do next?" Gwen had more faith than I did, and she wasn't even hearing the voice. I resolved to carry out the strange orders. I had to find out if it was the Holy Spirit leading me. Taking a deep breath, I led Gwen across the dance floor right next to the guy in the yellow shirt. He appeared to be in his early 20s and looked grim. Feeling awkward, I moved into his line of sight. Gwen peered around my shoulder. I awkwardly introduced myself as a student from across town. "My name's Terry," he said. My heart caught. "Terry, the Holy Spirit just told me to come over here and give you a message." He said, "Who?" he asked. "The Holy Spirit," I shouted as the band hit a loud chord. The strobe lights pulsed wildly, highlighting the incredulous look on his face. At that moment, the band stopped for a break. In a normal voice, I said, and as sincere as I could, the Holy Spirit said he's sorry for what happened to you. He still loves you very much. And he told me to your name. Terry's mouth dropped open. Then tears flowed down his cheeks. I can't believe, said Terry, that God knows I'm here and sent you to tell me. I've been so lonely. It's been years. It's been the worst year of my life. Why, I asked. Terry said, I once had been a student in a seminary where Gwen and him were attending. I was about to graduate, he said, and some friends talked me into going to a dance. Another student saw me and reported me to the dean, and I was expelled. What have you been doing, he asked. I've been taking a few courses here, but I didn't feel like I belonged. This weekend, I prayed for the first time in months. I asked God to give me a new sign if he still wanted me in ministry. I looked at Gwen. She was biting her lip, tears in her eyes, not caring what people thought. We both hugged Terry. I patted him on the shoulder and whispered, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you he wants to guide you again. All you have to do is ask him. Terry nodded. Would you pray for me before you go? He asked. The three of us made a circle and bowed our heads. Father, I said, thank you for giving Terry a sign of your love. Heal his emotional wounds. Renew your calling for him and guide him in every way, every day into the fullness of your will. Thank you for bringing us together by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Terry rubbed his chest with his hand. My bitterness is gone, he said in a smile of relief. Thanks for having the guts to talk to me. I'll never forget tonight. He reached out and vigorously shook our hands. Later in the library, Gwen and I cracked the books and a warm glow in our hearts. The Holy Spirit was no longer a remote concept, a list of attributes to memorize. He had revealed himself as a living personality. I have learned the Holy Spirit not only spoke in the old days of old, but he still speaks to us personally. Since then, this friend has guided me in specific ways for more than 25 years. It was Dan Montgomery. Sorry, I told you I can't get through it. There are Terrys out in our world all over the place that God has appointments for us to meet with. I don't know who your Terry is or who my Terry is. I've been doing what I'm asking you to do. I've been doing it every day. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, I have no clue what today might hold. And we just don't. But be obedient to those, to that still inner voice. When you actually go and ask him to do these things, be ready to just go and do whatever it is. If you miss it, you miss it. We all do. We're all learning. He's not going to say, well, I knew you were going to miss it. That's not how he is. If you're taking a step of faith into the unknown and you're not quite sure it's him, if it's not against the word of God, just do it. And I'll tell you what, oftentimes it'll be profound for both them and you. This is what God has in store for all of us. This is the kind of life he wants, an adventurous life for his people, not a dull, boring life. So, as we reflect on the assignment from the Lord, we're going to listen to a song as our benediction. You can sing along if you know it, and if not, just listen and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you.